This is CliffCentral.com.
Yeah, baby. Yeah, yet again another one of those absolutely fantastic days, man. Every time you hear this show, then you know that it's Thursday, if you're listening live, of course. And if you're not, then you know that you're certainly in for yet again another short hour. We like to call this the shortest hour in the week. Welcome to it. It's right here on cliffcentral.com. And right now you're listening to Unplugged and In Charge. My name is Weza. You can call me Weza That Guy. Always a pleasure being here, man. Always a pleasure getting to share some great knowledge, and always a pleasure just growing as a thought leader and talking to people who are actually doing amazing things. You know, one thing I appreciate about this show is that I actually grow so much just by listening to different people's perspectives, different people's journeys, and I get to literally walk the path with them in a way, or just, you know, fast forward my learning by actually getting to hear other people and the things that they've gone through as well. Once upon a time, I heard people say, your net worth determines your net worth. You might have heard that before. Now, I actually thought of that, and I think I shared it maybe a couple of weeks ago, but it just always comes back to me that you actually are not necessarily only rich because of the money that those people can give you, the people in your network, but actually you can get so wealthy by the knowledge that you can acquire, and the speed in which you can acquire knowledge just by having conversations. Understand that you can normally acquire knowledge by going through some hard times. You can go and get broke and lose a lot of money, or you can actually just meet some friend of yours who's broke and lost a lot of money, and you can say, hey man, how about we have a sit down? Tell me exactly how you got to be as you are right now. And they'll literally go through the whole thing with you. You'll just get too smart to make the same mistake again because you actually had that conversation. And that is a classic example of how a network can help you save all that time. Because, I mean, losing a lot of money is expensive. It takes a lot of money to lose a lot of money, right? And also, running a business that was a struggling business, and you took 5 years to get it to where it is, and you made a lot of mistakes in the process, that takes quite a lot of time, effort, and money. Now, if you can have a conversation with someone who can actually tell you how they went about the things that they did, and actually where they made mistakes and how they think they could fast forward this whole thing if they had to do it all over again, guess what? You'll be able to do what they did much quicker because you learned from them. And that's what this show is really about. It's about getting to learn about different people and different people's journeys, where they've been, and how they got there, how they think they could have done it quicker. So if I'm listening, I can learn about that, and I can do what they did a whole lot quicker, and make the same moves that they made, and not necessarily make all the mistakes along the way as well. I'm going to be interviewing a couple of different people here today. We've got a lady called Pink. She's not wearing pink, but her name is Pink. You know, when then we got Tepo and Tepiso, I think they're just a match made in I don't know, I don't want to say heaven, because maybe Tepiso was a name that was given to her when she was born, and he was, so they're a match made in hospital, basically. So, because that's where the name came, you know. So Tepo and Tepiso, and they are in business together. I think they should have just called the company Tepang, but but that's just me and my jokes. So now the really cool thing is that, they're in business and they're friends as well. Now, that's an interesting dynamic. Have you ever thought about getting into a business with your friends? How do you think that turns out a couple of years from now? I've heard a lot of people say, don't do it. It's a bad idea. You might ruin your friendship. But maybe if you set the right boundaries, maybe if you set the right type of company culture, it can actually be something that is beneficial. Well, we'll chat to them in a short little while. They'll tell us all about that. They'll tell us how they've gotten where they are, and how, in fact, they also got there as well. But maybe let me actually first talk to Pink. She's right here. How are you doing, ma'am?
I'm good, thanks, Weza. How are you?
Excellent. I'm 100%. Thank you very much for coming through, Miss Mokoena.
Thank you for having me. I'm so honored.
Excellent. So, I mean, there's so much to talk about when it comes to your life. I mean, there's so much you've done, and there's so much that you're still doing, right? Let's, I don't even know where to start. Before, I think, let's not start with where you are right now. Let's start with how you got to where you are. Okay, so first, it's always important to create a lovely introduction to make us interested, okay. You know? So give us an introduction. If you had to introduce yourself in three sentences or maybe a paragraph, one paragraph.
No pressure.
Here's your opportunity.
Okay, Weza, my name is Pinky Mokoena. I'm from Pretoria. I'm a 24-year-old environmental scientist and also radio broadcaster. My voice happens to be a bit on the down low today. I have flu, but I still know how to speak. But I'm currently a finalist for Miss Earth South Africa. So it just blends in with what I studied and what I'm really passionate about. I'm also an artist. I met you through art. I'm an artist. I'm a life lover and life liver to the full.
Okay. You heard her. I mean, she gives one of those pageant answers, you know.
Come on.
I'm a life lover and a life giver. Wait, did you say you're a life giver? You say a life
liver.
One day you'll be a life giver.
One day I'll be a life giver. So I'm like, hectic levels. Understand this, Weza.
Hashtag levels, right? Wow. Okay. No, that's cool. That was a lovely introduction. And now we already know, wow, okay, environmental scientists on this side. You're also into the broadcasting space. That means you're in some way you are in media or in fact, even in other types of talent.
Yes.
And then the other part of you does pageants as well.
Hey, Miss Earth is not a pageant. We'll talk about that later.
Okay, cool. So the other part of you wears a sachet that's written Miss Something, but it's not a pageant. But we'll talk about it later, which is great because it's already giving us a lot of question marks.
Yes.
But now let's start with just going back into time. Let's talk about maybe about 17 years ago.
I just need to calculate how old
minus,
I was.
Minus 17.
Minus
how old 17. Were you 17 years ago?
Probably nine.
Nine
I
years
think.
Old.
It's like the top of my
head. Nine.
Or less.
I think less.
Or less. Less. Maths. Wait, you can't just hit me with maths and expect me to get all the answers.
All right. So let's say, okay, let's try to make it a round number.
Yes,
the year 2000.
The year 2000.
Just when everyone thought we were going to die, then we didn't die, and some of us are still alive. Tell me about your life. The year 2000.
The year 2000, I was 6 years old.
Mm-hmm.
I think I was starting with grade one.
Yeah.
It's that year where we're all... I actually did say when we did myself in primary school that I wanted to be Miss South Africa.
Wow.
So I'm pretty happy. Miss Earth is a pretty amazing alternative.
Yeah.
So I'm really happy about that. But 2000, I was in Attridgeville, Pretoria West, where I was born. And I was getting ready for school. Didn't understand why we had to go. But I went, and I'm happy I did.
Oh, good. Okay, cool. So the year 2000, you're living in Attridgeville. What's life like in Attridgeville? Tell me about all the dynamics. What was your normal day like in Attridgeville?
My normal day as a six-year-old in Attridgeville, I loved my family. I remember I loved going to school. I was naughty. I think that's why. But I really loved going to school. It's a community, man. Attridgeville is so laid back. It's a township. Everyone knows everyone. Everyone interacts with everyone. Everyone has everyone's food. And so it was my community. It was where I grew up. And school, primary school, I also went to Attridgeville for a good 2 years. And I forgot the name of the preschool.
Mm.
But it's because I went to a lot of preschools. So I'll forgive myself. And playing probably when I came back from school. I don't know, six-year-old ways. Like, come on.
Yeah. All right, cool. No, it's sometimes it's in there where we start to understand the soil in which your roots were formed.
So deep. Hit
yeah,
us
man.
With the depth. Come on.
Because it's important because then we'll be able to judge when a tree is doing really well.
Hmm.
We can say, oh yeah, well, that tree was supposed to do well. It's in great soil. Or if it is actually doing well for the type of soil it's in. Then you say, wow, that's actually unbelievable to get such great fruit from such a great tree, which came from such dry soil?
I love that. If you'd given me that question initially, I would have gone.
Okay, cool. Tell us about your dry soil or your very well fertilized soil.
I would say my soil is pretty average. Mm-hmm. I was raised by my grandparents in Attridgeville. My parents passed away when I was little, car accident. Mm-hmm. And I had no siblings, and my parents had no siblings as well. So I'm like, no uncles, no cousins, dry. But I was loved. I think primarily the most important thing for any child is to receive love. If you're affirmed and approved of and validated in private, the public spaces can just expect that you will live like that. And those are my humble beginnings. My grandparents loved me. We still sing together. They still pick out my clothes for Miss Earth stuff. We're like tight, legit tight. And yeah, so went to school in Robert Hicks, in Gesina, and then in Mateke, in Attridgeville. And yeah, so that's like the basic gist of things. Mm.
That's amazing what you said right there. If you are approved of, and you know, you're given the right affirmations, and you are appreciated in private, and you are built up in the right way, and that's where you can shine. And you said that, I mean, it's the ingredient is love.
Yes.
Love and attention, I'm guessing. I mean, it all goes hand in hand. Wow, that's not average soil, man. Why didn't you mention that when I said tell us about your life at 6 years old? Yeah, that's not average. That's not an average life. I can't imagine not having both parents, you know, and also not even having uncles or aunts
or cousins
that you can kind of relate to. And it's just Makelwane's kid is the closest kid you can come to when it comes to, you know, having friends. And that is just a whole new different dynamic.
Thank you, Weza.
What do you think were the advantages of growing up with your grand instead of having like actual direct parents?
Okay, first of all, you get away with stuff. Like my mom was strict.
Yeah.
I didn't like her. I called her Makatepedi, which means my second mom or something like that.
Yeah.
Doesn't make sense, but it made sense to me then.
Okay.
And I got away with a lot of stuff with my grandparents. I mean, they just want to please and love you and give you everything.
Yeah.
I feel like I wouldn't have had half the things I have if my mom was alive, because she would have been, you need to work hard, girl. Mm. Mm. So that's the number one advantage. But like on a deeper level is, I always tell my friends as well that I feel like I get half a century worth of experience.
Wow.
Just in Jay, because I live with them. Mm. And they're that older than me. So even the conversations, even the motivation is different. Like when they encourage you, it's not the same as your 24-year-old friend. Mm. It's like hectic. Like you need to have 50 years worth of preparation.
Wow.
To, you know, and I think that explains why I look at life so differently. Everyone always says, you have an old soul. I'm like, yeah, I do. And also the other funny thing is, I always tell my friends that I feel like I don't know a lot of young people. Like all my friends growing up were my grandparents' friends. Mm. And half the people I knew when I was a child are dead. So I'm like, oh, this sucks. That's really weird. Sorry. I'm meant to answer with patient answers.
Just do your thing.
But it is the truth. So I was thinking about it the other day. I'm like, oh my gosh. Almost half the people I knew when I was a child are not around anymore. And I mean, that can only make you come alive even more or scared. And I've gone for the first one. Like, it makes me come alive. I know this is how life ends. So might as well do it well this one time and then pass. Yeah.
Amazing. You know, I say that we live on opposite sides of the same coin. So that coin has a heads or tails. You know, you could have the same excuse for why you're not doing great things.
True.
Or you could have the same excuse for why you're doing great things.
I actually call it excuse or reason. You have an excuse to give for not doing things, or reason to do things.
Mm, mm.
So I like that opposite coin thing.
Yeah, yeah. Look, man, that if you were on this show for the number of years I've been on it, you'd have these bars as well.
See, Weza, we see.
Or you just listen to the show. I'm sure all my friends who listen to this show have bars that they share with their friends too.
Makes
and they're
sense.
Like, you know, you live on the same side. Of the same coin. No. What did Weza say again? Opposite sides of the same coin. You just have to say it right, guys, the first time around.
Oh,
but that's really amazing. Now, that also then speaks about, you know, just how you look at life in itself. And I'm particularly interested when you're talking about having older parents and feeling like their parenting is slightly different because it's a whole century, almost a century, half a century's worth of experience. You often find that their parents would say that they wish they could, you know, they could relive their parenting years. Like they could, you know, they wish they could just have their kids all over again so that they can do certain things differently. Yeah. And don't you think then that makes grandparents the best parents?
It
because
makes sense.
They're getting a second chance, and everything that they didn't do, didn't say, didn't validate, didn't appreciate, they're now saying, here's my second chance. I'm going to do it right this time.
I like that. Let's take that. Mm. I won't add or ruin what you've just said.
Oh, goodness, no. But it, only you can confirm it because you are living proof of it.
Yeah, no, I absolutely second that. I never thought of it like that. So it's new. And I'm like, that makes sense. Makes sense. Mm. Hopefully, I'll be a better parent because, I mean, I had...
No, you'll be a better grandparent because that will be your second take. But you already are a greater person if you take the advice of the people who've lived it before. I'm not saying do everything that they're doing because or everything that they say you should do because they only see life from their corner of the world. Because remember, sometimes there's... Let's say, for instance, you see this building has so many rooms, right? There's so much going on here. But imagine this room, life is like this, not just this room, but this building. Life is like this whole building.
Yeah.
But in life, the lights are off.
Yo.
So no one can see anything, right? And we can only feel our way through life. We bump our heads, we bump our legs, we bump
our
things
toes.
As yes, but every time you bump something, you're like, okay, there's something there. Mm. I shouldn't walk there again. And you learn to walk around and navigate your way around life. But some people have only lived in this one room. They don't have anything, any knowledge about any of the other rooms. The other rooms are unknown to them, and they also don't know what's in those rooms. So those other rooms are like unknown unknowns. But at least in this room, they are known unknowns.
Yeah.
So things that we don't know what it is, but we know it's there.
Yeah.
So we avoid it. But in the other rooms, they're even more terrified of them because there's nothing that they know there. And in fact, they don't even know where it even is or how it exists. So those people can only give you great advice about the room that they've lived in.
Sure.
And if they say they've That's lived good. 60 years in this room, they can give you great advice about this room, but they can't actually really give you advice about the other room. Mm. But it only takes a humble person to know that, hey, I'm wise, but I'm wise about this room.
Mm.
And if my child wants to live in a different room, let me go find someone who can actually advise them on that
Preach
other room.
It,
because me, I actually don't know much about that life.
Yeah.
So I can only encourage you, my child, that there are people who live there, not me.
Mm.
So don't take my fear and what I know, because it's not really adequate to get you there. But instead, people tell you, no, don't go to other rooms.
Yeah.
This room is fine. And you're like, no, but... Dad, I want to be there. I want to fly. I want to be Miss SA.
And then they give you the because I said so response when you ask why.
Yeah, or who do you know who's doing that? That's actually a bad answer. I mean, a bad question. Who do you know who's doing that?
Yeah.
So just because no one in the family is doing it, that only means that no one in the family has gotten the guts to leave this room. But what if there's a better room there? Can you see how big that other room is compared to this one? You know, and sometimes it has been other restrictive forces. I mean, we come from a country, we are in a country that has a past of, you know, restrictive perspectives.
Yeah.
Some of our family members were not allowed to study, or maybe didn't have the means to go a lot further, and were not even allowed to dream beyond a certain dream. You know, there was a time that you couldn't open a business. You just couldn't register a business. You know how easy it is to register a business today? But back, in fact, our parents still, some of them still think you need thousands to register a business. Meanwhile, you need like 175 rand. It's crazy.
Sure.
But so meaning that there are those type of people who are raising kids right now, and they're raising kids with only the perspective they have of the world. Mm-hmm. Now, it is very hard for a slave to raise a master, you know, because the slave only has perspective of the ground, because they've always been told to look down, whereas the master has this bird's eye view. They've seen the world, and they can help you dream. Have you seen that scene on Simba, on the movie, where the father's like, Simba, look, everything that you see here. You know, when Mufasa tells Simba to look on the horizon, that's how leaders raise leaders, you know. Mm. But unfortunately, sometimes we have, we have our parents who maybe were living like, there's something called a worm's eye view and a bird's eye view. So your parent had a worm's eye view because of the situation that they were living in. And now they have to teach you to have a bird's eye view, but it's really hard from their point of view. Right. Mm-hmm. And it only takes a humble parent to say, hey, you know what? I don't know the world. I don't know as much as I should know.
Sure.
But I can connect you with people that do. And I encourage you to learn and come here with new things, girl. Yeah. Come here with some new knowledge and make me uncomfortable. It's fine. But I'll support whatever dream you have.
Sure.
I'll catch you when you fall, you know,
snapping fingers.
Because that's all parents actually supposed to do.
Yeah.
You know, all I needed from my mom was just a guarantee to say, look, Weza, go for it. If you fail, you'll come live here. That's all I needed. You know, I just wanted her to say, it's all right. Just go for it, man. If nobody likes you, we still like you. You know, you'll always have a bed here.
That's good.
You'll share our food. We'll live like we always lived. We'll treat you like you back in grade 7. You know, whatever. But just go for it anyway, because it's better than you being stuck in something that you don't love and underperforming based on your potential.
Snapping fingers. You said it. Preach it, brother.
Okay, great. Well, I just went off into my own little tangent, but I really felt quite passionate about that, and I felt like that was slightly new knowledge in a way as well.
Yes.
Cool. So let's talk about what you're doing right now and the many different avenues that you're into right now, because now we got a good sense of where, you know, your roots were formed. Yeah. We know the soil now.
Cool. Okay. So I'm also like you, Weza. I have like multiple lives, double standards in a good way.
No.
Good.
You can call it something different. Just say, I'm also a genius.
I'm also a genius, Weza.
That's it.
Ah, yes.
There's nothing wrong with being a genius.
I'm a genius.
Look at who I was looking up to when I was growing up. People like Leonardo da Vinci, Van Gogh, Michelangelo. These guys were great mathematicians. They were great architects. They were great artists. They were great astrologists. They were great theologists. These guys
did everything.
They did everything, because back then there was no school to tell you, you are only supposed to do this.
Genius, Walter.
Yeah.
I like that. Now I'm confident to answer this question.
21st century genius.
So.
Okay, cool. Tell us about your genius.
Okay, the first one is very straightforward, environmental scientist. I work as a consultant with a company called Eon Consulting. We do all environmental consulting and advocacy, basically. Like, I'm all about conserving the earth and being good stewards of it. I'm like preaching this always. And then my other life is I'm a radio DJ as well. Mm-hmm. Like I said, for a community radio station in Pretoria called Impact Radio. Mm. I do an environment show.
Okay.
Genius.
Yeah.
And then I also do spoken word. I'm a poet and like a closet musician.
Why closet?
Because I'm not known for music.
Okay.
Like, people who know me as a poet are like, you're a poet, that's all you are. So it's afraid to come out.
All right.
But yeah, I write songs, I play the acoustic guitar, and so that's the music avenue. But I also work as a researcher for the Department of Basic Education. Pretty confidential stuff. But so I work as a researcher for them on a part-time basis. And I'm currently working through my master's in environmental sciences. And I'm also Miss Earth finalist.
Okay, excellent.
Yeah.
Great. And tell me about this multi-dream living life. How's it like? And what's the internal voice and what's the external voices?
Okay, the number one internal voice, I'm going to start with that because it's sitting right in front of me. You always said this. You have nothing. The fear. You have nothing to lose but the fear of the unknown, or something like that.
Yeah, exactly like that.
I'm like, where's that? Yes. So I think there has to be a reason for why I love everything. Like, I don't want to choose. I don't want to just be an environmental scientist. I feel like that life would be restricting, like you said. Like, it's too small. It's just a small box on the side. But I'm passionate about poetry. If I get inspired, I'll write a piece now. Mm. And I don't feel it's fair that people should stop me and be like, no, you're an environmental scientist, sit on your corner. No. So my multi-layered dreaming and living is actually just inspired by that. If something really tugs at my heart, I don't think it's fair to myself to keep quiet about it. Even with music, I write songs every now and again. I want to sell them. If you know any famous people, wink, wink. But like, even with music, if I'm hanging out with my guitar and I'm feeling whatever I'm feeling and a song comes to my heart, I want to be able to share it. It's a free country, you know, so I do that. But my grandmother encourages me. I think that's always the thing with this multi-dreaming, living thing, that when you're encouraged to be that, and there is no benchmark, there's no you need to be like whoever, then you're free to be yourself. And so for me, it's always been that listen, you have your own authentic person that you need to introduce to the world. Do it well. They may never have seen something like you before, so make sure they see it. Yeah. You know. So yeah, was that your question?
Yeah, that was the internal voice answered, and now the external voices. What are they saying?
Wena, don't you get tired? Like, how many hours in a day do you have, girl? Like, my friends are
Sounds very familiar. Yeah.
Exactly. Since varsity, I never rested. I never did one thing. And there used to be times where they're like, yo, that's impossible, Pinky. You're going to fail and hard and blah, blah, blah. But Trevor, no, I'm going to quote him. He's one of those people now. He said that, like, if you reach for the stars or something really big, if you fail, you can be like, oh, well, it was too big anyway. I wasn't going to make it. But if you make it, it's like, yo, I made it. So there's really nothing to lose. So people have been saying it's impossible until I do it. Then they're like, how did you do it? So after the first like trajectory on that tip that people would ask, how did you do it? I was like, oh, they don't know what they're doing. They're just like being voices to me because I don't know. Their fear is just reflected through them, or projected rather. And after I make it, I'm like, they don't know what they're talking about. I don't listen to anyone else anymore now. I'm just shooting for it. If it interests my eye, I'm going to go for it, Weza.
Excellent.
I'm going to be the female babe's voice.
Excellent, man. It's definitely possible, you know, definitely, definitely. And that's actually, it sounds exactly like how, you know, everything that I've been hearing. But what is important is that you learn to filter out what you don't need to hear.
Exactly.
You know, so I distance myself, or at least have a way of just hitting the mute button when people are like, oh, I'm so concerned about, then it just switches off, and then I'm so concerned about, anyway, how's your day? Because I just have told myself that, yo, look, if you're not adding to this, then just keep it to yourself. Be concerned, but have it inside you. You know, you can be there when I fall, but you know, chances are you're going to be there to congratulate me afterwards.
And
rather,
ask me how I did it.
Exactly. I have this thing that I thought of, and I always think of things that you've come to notice by now, is that have you ever played with ants before? Like, while ants are like walking on a table or whatever, and you just, you know, you just do some things. Sometimes you see them walking in a straight line and you just wipe the surface to see if they'll still remember where to walk. Or maybe you've had one ant that just was walking on your finger. Like, you took it from the table and you just got it onto your finger, right? That's happened before, right?
Yeah.
So have you ever done this? Maybe the ant was walking on this table and it was close to the edge, and then you just put it on your finger, and then you just put it on another table, and then it found its way on the other table, right? Now imagine that. That is a great clue as to how you are versus God, right? And you like that little ant, and all the other ants are around you, and you just this little ant that has dreams of being on that other table, and they're like, it's impossible. It'll take you a whole ant life to even walk on the ground to get up there. It's too long. It's impossible. You can't get there. But God's finger is on the edge of the table.
Yeah.
It's just waiting for one of your for you to have enough faith to actually walk to the edge of the table and say, guys, I'm still going to try though. And when you get to the edge of the table, you get onto his finger and quicker than what you could walk. I mean, while the ant is still walking from this side of your finger to the other side, you've already placed it on the other table. And when it walks off, it's like, whoa, how did I get here? My goodness. And it even shocks you. Like, how did we get here? Like, well, look at our lives, you know? Like, I look at my own life sometimes like that. I'm like, dude, how am I who I am to these people? You know, because just yesterday I was just, you know, I still, like, even this morning I looked at a post online and I'm seeing, okay, I'm doing a TED Talk soon.
Yes.
And wow, it's big and everyone sees it as so big. And I'm still me to myself. Like, to myself, I'm just still like, I'm fit to get enough fit to talk Ogazi, you know? In my mind, it's still me. But out there, I'm driving to the studio today and I'm seeing billboards. I'm looking at myself. I'm like, I'm on a billboard. Like, that's me. Marat, inside me, it's still like, I'm fit to get enough fit to talk Ogazi. That's just how life is. But it only favors those who are willing to walk to the edge of the table.
I like that.
Yeah, interesting. Great. Well, thanks, Pink.
Thank you, Lisa.
We had a really great chat. Yeah. So tell us about, in conclusion, how we can actually, follow the Miss Earth finalists. Let me just say the whole thing. Miss Earth South Africa finalists journey.
Yes. Right?
How can we follow it? And how can we support you if there is a way to support you at all?
Thank you for asking that question, Weza. So we're a virtual community as 21st century kids. Millennials. So I think the most primarily, you can follow us on all social media platforms that we have.
Tell us which one.
Twitter, Instagram, we are at Miss Earth _ South Africa. So Miss spelled MISS, not MS.
Okay.
Miss Earth _ South Africa. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. And Facebook, we are Miss Earth South Africa, the full words, spaced evenly. And yeah, that's it. And me personally, I am at Jedediah_Pink.
Rough. Jedediah. Just try to spell it right, guys.
Jedidiah. Jedidiah. People always say Jedidiah_Pink. That's a good way of pronouncing it. So that
I'm sure at Ridgeville, you were Jedidiah.
Yeah, I was Jedidiah.
And
know
then until you went to the suburbs and you're like Jedidiah.
Jedidiah. Sorry. Yeah, that is true, Isa. Is true. But thank you so much for inviting me. And the crowning is on the 6th of October. So we will know who are four Miss Earths. We have four winners with Miss Earth. It's completely different. And six ambassadors. And all the girls have been working so hard. We're actually really looking forward to that. So the best place to support us primarily is social media.
Excellent. All right, great stuff. Well, you heard it from Jedidiah herself, Jedediah, or Pink. I think Pink is like the easiest
pink
one.
Works. Yeah. Yes.
Was Pink derived? Was Pink always your name, or
it's
was it
one of my five original names on the ID? I'm an only child, Wiz. I remember that.
So
that
they. So who? So are
it was
the five
for the
people?
Uncles and the. No, I mean, like, they named me for no uncles, no cousins. So everything, I have five names.
All the names that they've ever wanted to give their kids, they just gave
absolutely
to one child. Let's go through all of them. It's Pink, Jedediah.
Getswaretswe Mpho Lea.
Yo. All right. Yeah, now that's all of them, Baba. That's all of them. And you just picked the good ones.
Yeah, I picked the good ones.
Yeah.
So that you guys must not see what's behind the scenes.
At least, it's like 2 out of 3, right? I mean, 2 out of 5. You picked 2 out of 5.
Yeah.
So it's not like you only picked one. So at least nyana wabazama.
Balance.
Yeah. Pink is her name. Mukwena is the surname, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
And of course, she is one of the finalists from Miss Earth South Africa. And hopefully she can get to fly the flag high. But the nice thing about this is it's not necessarily always just about who gets to win, but it's more about, the great work that's being done out there.
Yep.
The awareness that's happening as well. And actually, it actually works, you know.
I
grew up as one of those people who was just like, environmentally for what, you know. But over time, with all of this these campaigns, you know, and you start to think twice about everything. Eventually, you start to feel so passionate about it, and you the one that wants to kind of intervene when certain things are happening. Mm. So, you know what, your work is really, really something that does definitely do what you guys hope that it will do. You guys are making an impact.
Thank you, sometimes
it's one of those things where you just plant the seed, but you never see it grow.
Sure.
But you just wonder why there's a forest after a couple of years.
Those words warm our hearts. Thank you.
Excellent. Great stuff. I did say that we also have people who are hustling in the building. They, of course, have an amazing empire that they're starting together. They are in the marketing space, and they have a company that is doing quite well. It's called Creative Brands Studio, right? And, you know, it's an amazing thing because these are friends. They're hustling together, and we're going to get to find out exactly how easy it is, or in fact, how hard it is to actually start a business, especially as young people, especially maybe even as friends, and to actually have that grow. And we're going to find that out between these two. I've got Tsepo and Tsepiso. How are you guys doing?
Hi, Wiza.
Excellent. You guys even answer at the same time. Guys, match made in hospital, I'm telling you. So, okay, cool. So let's get to know you guys a little bit. Maybe let's ladies first. So Tsepiso, you can go first.
Hi, Wiza.
Sure.
Firstly, I'd like to greet the listeners. Thank you so much, guys, for tuning in. My name is Tsepiso Malefane. I'm 27 years old. I'm originally from Pretoria in Soshanguve. I am an entrepreneur, co-founder of Creative Brand Studio. And then I'm also a wine ambassador for Asara Hotel and Wine Estate.
Okay, yeah. Excellent. Wow, pretty cool. All right, so tell me about your journey before you got into business. What was some of your background?
As I said, I'm originally from Pretoria in Soshanguve. Mm. So my background before I was into business, mm-hmm. I was just a little girl hustling.
Yeah.
I was working as a promoter for other companies. Ah. I was introduced to promotions by a friend of mine that I was studying with.
Yeah.
So this friend of mine, she was working. Do you remember in 2009, 2010, you were a cool child when you had a BlackBerry?
Oh, yeah.
I didn't have one, and a friend of mine had one. And we were both studying.
And there, back then, a couple of friends of mine used to sing, Lina gave out a BlackBerry.
Yeah, so Palisa had a BlackBerry. So I asked her, girl, how can you afford this?
Yeah.
Like, how did you make it? I mean,
when you have a BlackBerry, you've made it.
You've made it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so luckily she was not a jealous friend, hey?
Yeah.
She was like, no, girl, actually I'm working on weekends. Mm. She was working for TCC. Mm. So she hooked me up, then I started working. Then I could afford my own things.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So that's what I was doing before I started my own company, Creative Brand Studio, with my business partner, Tsepo. Mm. So I was just a normal child from Soshanguve. Just after I matriculated, went to college. You know, like, I just wanted to go to school and work. But then I got introduced into promotions, and then this passion grew, and then I ended up having Creative Brands now.
Yeah. Absolutely amazing. Tsepi, so right now you are 27?
Yeah, 27.
Yeah. So it's not even like, you know, you are a seasoned veteran or anything. It's like this is something that you started while you were young. You guys started in 2014, right?
Yes, the company started in 2014, September.
Yeah, 2014, 15, 16, 17, 18. It's been about 4 years.
It's been about 4 years.
So, I mean, that means that you did start it in your early
20s. I was 23 when we started.
Just when you graduated or were you still studying?
I was still studying then. And then I was also still working.
Yeah. And studying and working. You've always had them both.
Yeah,
right?
I've always had them both. I was hustling, you know.
Yeah.
I was hustling. You know, as a girl from a township, your family cannot buy you everything that you want. I mean, you go to college, you go to campus, you meet kids from different families, you know. So, like, I didn't have all the privileges. So, I had to work to give myself privileges.
Wow.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that means... It also says something about the type of friends you had, because you wanted a BlackBerry because everyone had, Palisa had a BlackBerry. And then
I won't forget it.
And then Palisa could have said, yo, Choma, I'm dating this guy.
No.
But what I'm saying is that that's how important association is, because Palisa told you that you can actually start working at your age, and you thought, wow, that is an option
that
for
is
me.
An option.
Okay, cool. Let me take that option, and then you started affording the things that you needed, and then you met people who said, "Girl, why are you working for somebody? Own this whole pie. Don't own just the cherries, or just the don't only take the icing off the sugar. Take the whole cake." And then you said, "Okay, cool. Let me open a company." You were still young at the time. You were still studying, but so much growth happened because Palisa had a BlackBerry that she worked for.
You know, I only associate myself with people who lift me higher.
Wow.
So if you're not contributing to my life, like, sorry, but I can't.
Yeah.
So if you're lifting me higher, then you're my friend.
Excellent. Yeah. Excellent. Wow. That is, a short summary of Tepiso's story. Tepo, let's hear your story.
Yeah, thank you, Weza. I'm blessed to be here.
Wow, thank you.
Basically, my name is Tepo. I'm from Soshanguve. I'm 29 years of age. I'm a co-founder and director of Creative Brand Studio. Mm. So basically, I was born in a small village called Mwega, about 20 kilometers from Hammanskraal.
Okay, and sharks. Then,
wait. somewhere in the bushes.
Normally people normally people will try to use a big place to describe their small place.
Yeah.
You are using a small place to describe it. That just speaks to the magnitude.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like how far I came
Sucks. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Thanks.
So basically, I went there, but like I did my primary, and then in 2002, I moved to Soshanguve.
Sure.
That's when I started living there.
Mm-hmm.
And then from 2002, that's when I met Tepiso.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was a young sister to me, and we grew up as like a family friends.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then I went to Kampala Secondary School, and then thereafter I moved to TUT, to study IT communication networks. So basically, my first love was to be an entrepreneur.
Okay.
And then the second love was to have an alternative.
Yeah.
Yeah, to have an alternative. Oh, sorry. To have an alternative. So basically, during those career exposed, they teach you like you have to go and study. Then after study, then that's when you can consider doing your own thing.
Okay.
Yeah. So basically, my plan was to go and get myself a diploma, an IT diploma, which I did in 2013.
Mm-hmm.
And then after, I will work to fund my business.
I see.
Yeah. So basically, that was our plan. To go there, we work, and then we fund our business until we are in a point where we can sustain ourselves. Then we go into business like full time. That's what we are doing now.
Wow. Yeah. So this was always a team effort from the days of varsity.
Yeah. In fact, she introduced me to the promoting world. Yeah.
Thanks to Palisa, who had a BlackBerry.
Yeah.
Yo, Palisa.
So this thing is a link.
Yeah, it's a link.
Yo, you know what?
Yeah.
Palisa has been like
Palisa Shabalala.
Just give her an SO. Palisa Shabalala. She's been the one, guys. Palisa Shabalala. Wow. Okay, you wanted to add something to what he was saying, yeah?
No, I was just saying like we grew up together with Tebo, and then as I said that you can only associate yourself with people who can lift you higher.
Yeah.
I mean, he was a brother to me. We were family friends. He was like living 5 houses away from my house, and then we went to the same high school, and then he was that guy that if like you talk to him, then you can only pick up the positive. You know, when you're having a conversation with someone, then you can tell that this person can really take me somewhere.
Wow.
Yeah. So he was that guy that, you know, a brother, when you talk to him, and then you can pick up some positive things. And then, that's how we said, you know what, we're going to make it. We're going to make it. Yeah.
Absolutely amazing. You know what? Big round of applause to Palisa Shabalala. I mean, she got these people out here doing amazing things today. And I mean, it was just a small thing from her. It was not necessarily, she didn't mentor you into business or whatever. Sometimes it's just a small little thing. When you are doing something and you're doing it well enough and you are inspiring just the next person next to you, Kanti, that you've sparked the mind that might actually cause the biggest explosion ever, and actually might, you know, be something even greater than what you initially set out to be. You know, sometimes that's the thing. I think Tupac also said something like that. Is like, I might not be the greatest person, but I think I could spark the mind of the person that will be. You know, and I think if Palisa did anything in her random act of just being a good girl, she actually inspired some people who actually ended up, you know, doing something big.
Yes, she did.
Because of now, like, you know, when you go through difficulties, like, you guys, I think in media, you have power. Because of once you are there at home and then you start picking up your phone and then you do some research, you know, I was going through some hard time and then I read somewhere saying, I will maybe you will remind me who said it. It said, if you're going through hell, go through.
Yeah,
I don't know if it resonates.
So Steve Harvey, who said,
if you're going
recently, there was a post where Steve Harvey had said something like that, but he also got it from somewhere else. But you know how these things are, knowledge just gets passed on. Yeah,
never give up, never give up on your dreams.
It says, if you're going through hell, keep going. Because why would you want to stop in hell?
Yeah, imagine if you stop and then if you're going there. Go through it.
Mm.
Like I think even a precious like our diamond, our gold, they have to go through fire. Mm. They have to go through fire, and then after that fire, you'll see the beauty out of it.
Yeah.
So if you are going through difficulties, just keep pushing, and then believe you me, God will bless you.
Tell me about your fire. What has been your difficulties?
Like, you know, recently about a month ago, I woke up and my face was filled with pimples.
Jeez.
I don't like, one day I was fine, then another day, like, that was the, like, it was hard. It was hard. And I had to go to, because we work as a brand ambassadors for Asara.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we have to go. I have to go to do my work. I have to do the reporting.
Mm.
And there's no way that I could make excuses.
When you say pimples, I just want us to have a great word. Like, I just want us to imagine it the right way. So you're saying your face was filled with pimples. Is it just like a little bit of an acne breakout, or is it like hectic?
Yo, it was hectic. Like half of my face, like one half of my face, all of it, from the face on top of my head.
Whoa.
And I went to the doctor.
So from the front of your face all the way to the back.
Yeah, even literally on top of my head.
In your hair, like underneath your hair.
Yeah, underneath my hair. Oh, my goodness. Cut off my hair.
Yeah. Okay, yeah.
And then you know what? I told myself that I have to soldier through this. And then I continue working. Hmm. I only took 1 week off. I went to the doctors. They didn't know what was wrong with me.
Jeez.
Yeah, they did all the tests, but they didn't know what was wrong with me. But I soldiered on. I know, like, every report that I had to write, I did write it. Each and everything that I had to do, I did it.
Wow.
Yeah.
You could have easily at that moment just sulked, got into your little pity corner and said, why me? What's going on? Even the doctors don't know. How long is this going to happen?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Will I be like this forever? Will I ever find a husband or a wife or a something? Yeah. Oh no, I am doomed.
And that's something with entrepreneur.
Yeah.
Like when you're working for someone, you can easily go to the doctor and get a sick note.
Yes.
And then you just sit there.
Yeah.
But now when you are pushing your own mission, it becomes different.
Sick leave is optional.
It's not optional.
It's not even an option.
Yeah.
Sharks. Yo, that must have been something that was quite testing.
Yeah.
Wow. So you can describe that as one of your fires, and you just kept on going. You made sure every single thing that you needed to do was done, so that at the end of the day, you know, the bread is taken care of and the bag is secured.
Exactly.
That's good. Exactly. And how about you, Tippy? So have you gone through fires that you needed to say, you know what, I'm going through it, but I'm going through it?
You know what, as a company, we have went through a hell lot of fire. We have went through a lot of things, eh? Like to get where we are as a company, it's been a roller coaster. Like, I don't want to lie. In fact, I get emotional when I talk like about where we have been as a company. You know, we have this huge client now that we're serving. We do their in-store promotions. We do their whole retail marketing. Mm. So I had a child actually this year.
Oh.
Like, yeah, I gave birth on 23rd of May.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So by the time I gave birth, that week we were running a promotion for the client. So we have to book promoters, we have to book stores, we have to make sure that everyone have their sampling stock and stuff like that. I gave birth 23 May in the morning. In the afternoon, I was home on my phone.
Oh, your goodness.
Like, I really feel emotional. I was home on my phone. Like, my grandmother says that I'm always on my phone, of which it's hard for me to explain that I'm working, you understand?
Yeah, yeah.
They feel maybe you're chatting or you're on social media or stuff like that. So, like, that day, like, on my own, I was like, oh, my God, this is too much, but I'm going to do it. I got on my phone, answered all the emails, made sure that the stores are booked. Remember, we share responsibilities.
Yeah.
Like, Tepa has his own responsibilities in the company. Yeah. I also have my own responsibilities.
No maternity leave.
We don't have the privileges. Hey? No. We don't have the privileges. Because, like, I mean, if I'm cutting off, it means it's going to be a strain. And then, like, he won't manage on his own. We're doing a lot of things. So, like, to do the job, we manage. But then that day that I gave birth to my daughter, after I came back from the hospital that day, I made sure that the whole promotion, it's organized for the weekend. Because it was on the 23rd. I only had the 24th, the 25th and 26th of May. People had to be in stores and working.
Wow.
So, like, I said to myself, you know what? I'll describe myself as a successful person. Like, I mean, I've worked hard. That's part of me when I come and say, I've really worked hard. Imagine on that day that I gave birth.
Jeez.
Yeah.
You know, giving birth is not a small task. It takes quite a lot of energy.
Imagine natural birth.
My goodness.
Yeah, but then I'm an entrepreneur. And I mean, I have a choice of saying I can look for a job and work somewhere, but I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. Like, I'm living my dream. I'm happy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is amazing, guys. You know what? We're getting to those points within this show where, in fact, it almost always happens when I have great people in the studio, is that we have all of these things to say and we just all want to keep on listening and it's just getting more and more interesting. And then the time runs out. Can you believe that it's already been an hour?
Oh my God.
Yeah. It's the shortest hour of the week. I said it when we started the show.
Yeah.
I think I'm jinxing the show every time I say that, but I think it's a good jinx. So I'm just going to ask you guys, I'm going to go through the entire room. You just share a little bit in terms of a word of encouragement, and then you can also just tell us your handle, where people can find you. And yeah, that will be pretty much it. Tsepiso, so let's start with you.
On Facebook, it's Tsepiso Patricia Malefane. And then we also have our Facebook page for the company. It's Creative Brand Studio, Pty Ltd. And then they can also check our website. It's www.creativebrandstudio.co.za.
Excellent. Tsepo.
Basically, on Facebook, I'm Tsepo Ngwenya. And on Twitter, I'm at Ngwenya Tsepo. And then, as she mentioned, we are marketing and promotions company, still looking on to grow. Like, our motto is to bring more revenue.
Yeah.
So, given a chance, we'll take the brand, any brand, to greater heights.
Hola.
Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you, Weza. On Facebook, I am Pinky Jedediah Mukwena. And on Instagram and Twitter, it's @Jedediah_pink. My last words are, do you, boo? I love saying that. But authentically and deeply, I say, you only have one you. Do him well. Do her well.
Great stuff. Well, just before I wrap up the show, just a quick 1-2 when it comes to the VOs, the voiceovers. What does it mean to be a man in today's world? Join Craig and Carlisle for a conversation about masculinity that everyone needs to hear. This raw and authentic series of 6 podcasts provides profound insight into why men behave the way they do. Unpack the 3 core desires at the heart of every man. The question every boy needs answers answered. And of course, on this journey of manhood, there's also the 4 big lies about masculinity, what wounds the masculinity heart, and the one thing every man wants from women more than sex. Interesting. Man to Man Talks is brought to you by Carling Black Label. Drink responsibly, not for sale to persons under the age of 18. I say that all the time. Available now on cliffcentral.com website or wherever you get your podcasts from. So make sure to listen to that. But it has been the shortest hour of the week. Thank you so much for listening. The name is Weza, that guy, signing out.
This is CliffCentral.com.